Well, hello everybody, and welcome today to, what is today? Today is Tuesday the 26th of March. We're at the end of this month. Praise God, I'm glad about that. I thank God that they're not blowing the leaves or doing the garbage today, so we should have a little quiet. I want to read today. Before I do that, I want to go to... I want to just remind you to go ahead and go to my YouTube channel and, go to my YouTube channel and then, like, comment, subscribe, share, the videos. You can also go to my podcast, Tom and Sarah. Both of them are named Tom and Sarah. You can go there and you can like, subscribe, comment, share the videos, share the podcast. You can contact me, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. Praise God. I want to talk today. We're going to kind of go in a different direction today. I'm going to talk about, I'm going to go to Joshua chapter 11 is where we're going to go. And we're talking about Gath and what happens in Gath. And so we're going to deal with that today. As we do, just want to tell you that God is doing something major in our lives. He's doing something major in us. And we want to be able to walk in those things. Amen. So, if you'll go to Joshua chapter 11, and I'm specifically going to verse 22, and we're going to build on something here, so just hang on. All right, let's go to verse 21. And Joshua also drove out the Anakim, the race of giants, from the hill country, including the cities of Hebron, Debir, and Anab, from the entire hill country of Judah and Israel. Joshua destroyed the Anakim in their towns. Now remember, the Anakim were the giants. Remember back in Numbers when Moses sent out the spies to check out the lands, he said, "Oh, the land is full of giants." Okay, here in verse 21, Joshua destroyed the Anakim and their towns. Verse 22, so that there were no surviving Anakim in the Israelite territory. Some survived, but only in the Philistine cities of Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. Now, Gath means wine press. Ashdod means stronghold. So there's lessons here, and we're going to get into those. So he destroys the Anakim, and those that escaped went into this place called Gath. All right, and many of you will know where we're going with this. The deal is that a lot of times we drive out things out of our lives. We get things and we have them pushed out of our lives and we get them out. They are sins. They are weaknesses. They are attitudes that if we do it in the flesh, psychology will tell us you do these little methods. And you'll be free. AA will tell you, you go through these steps, and then you'll be free from alcohol. But although they will continue to call you alcoholics. My name is Bill, and I'm an alcoholic. No, you are the righteousness of God in Christ if you are a Christian, if you are a believer. You have to push away the names. Well, these Anakim were the giants in the land. They were... they were just big people. Some people believe that they were about 9 feet tall. They were just giants in the land. And remember when they sent the spies in, the 12 spies, 10 of them came back and said, "There's giants in the land and they'll get us." Well, this is what they're talking about. These giants. You will find things in your life that seem insurmountable. You'll find things in your life that will come against you that are... that you feel are impossible situations, okay? But my Bible says that with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Everybody say that, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So, when you have giants that you're facing every day in your life, maybe it's a relational giant, could be a financial giant, it could be something that is a situation in your life, a job situation, or it's a relationship at work, or it's a physical situation, whatever it is, it's a giant. But you never face these things alone. All right, Joshua was able to push them aside and get rid of them out of the Israelite territory, the territory that was promised by God, that God said that you will get this territory. I'm in chapter 20 and they're dividing the land up. So these Anakim, the ones that survived escaped to Gath, and they escape to Ashdod. They find these strongholds. They find these wine presses. And these giants go there. Now, those of you who know where I'm going with this, First Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, talks about this guy from Gath, this giant from Gath. His name is Goliath, and he is a descendant of these Anakim, and he was about 9 feet tall. He had four brothers, and at least four brothers, and he stood in front of the armies of Israel with Saul, and he said, let's have a contest. Whoever beats me, if you beat me, then we'll be your slaves. If I beat you, then you be our slaves. And Israel didn't do anything. They didn't send anybody. And then some little kid named David, he goes out there bringing cheese to his brothers. And he hears this, and Goliath comes out in verse 23, and he says, come out and fight me. If you win, we'll be your servants. If we win, you be our servants. And David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that comes at us? So David gets the ire. He gets really irritated with him. Saul, well, you're going to have to wear my armor because you can't fight him alone. And so he tries to put on his armor. And a lot of times we try to put on somebody else's armor. We try to put on somebody else's personality in order to overcome in situations the giants that we face. If I could be like, and you just put the name in there. If I was like, you know, Pastor Bill, or if I was like Pastor Chris, or if I was like Bob Jones, or if I was like Billy Graham, you know. The deal is that you can't be like them. You can't wear their garment. You can't wear their armor. In Zechariah, he says, I don't remember the chapter, but he says to the angel, he says, remove his garments. They're dirty. And give him new garments. See how God does things? He wants you to walk in your character, in your destiny, in your purpose. He refines our character, but he wants us to walk in our own purposes, what we were created for. So David he didn't have time to train in it, and he just like, forget it. So he picks up five smooth stones, puts them in his little satchel. Why did he pick up five? Many people believe that they have stories. I don't necessarily know why he picked up five. I think it's because Goliath had four brothers. But he picked up five smooth stones, put them in his satchel. Five is the number of grace in the Bible. Whenever you see that, you have to understand that the five has to deal with grace. God's grace was with David at this time. And he takes a stone, and Goliath, and he says, He says, "Who is this kid that's coming at me with a stick?" And he goes, "Well, I don't even need this stick." And he throws it down. And he says, "You come at me with a sword and spear, but I'm coming at you with the power of God, with the name of the God. I'm coming at you with the name of God." And a lot of times we have to come at our enemies, at our situations, in the name of God. What is the name of God? Well, there's a bunch of them in the Bible. There's the God who is always present. There is the God who heals. There's the God who is our provider. There's the God who is our shepherd. There is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies. He is El Roy, the God who sees me. He is Elohim, the Almighty God. He is El Shaddai, the mighty God who is more than enough. You come at your situation in the name of the Lord. Now, one of the situations that I face on a regular basis is finances. Now, I can believe finances for you, okay? But for me, it's a little different situation. And so, why can't I believe God for a miracle in finances? Why is it hard for me to believe for me? And so, when I come at it, I don't come at it in my strength. I come at it in the name of the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, my healer, my righteousness. And so you have to see that your situation is nothing in comparison to God. Your situation is small. Remember, never tell your God how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to the power that works in me. So David says, "Well, I don't even need the stick." And he takes his stone, he takes one of the smooth stones, and has it in his sling, and he's going. And then all of a sudden he runs toward Goliath and lets the stone go, and it hits him in the middle of the forehead. Now, I like to think that the last thought that Goliath had was, "Nothing like that has ever entered into my mind before." But the reality is that David hit him from the front, and the impact of that should have drove him backwards. But Goliath falls forward. I kind of believe that God pushed him. David goes up and takes Goliath's sword and chops his head off. What you have to do is don't run away from your situation, but run toward it in the name of the Lord with what God has given you. Now, there are prophetic words that God gave you last season that are going to deal with what you need today. God gives you you're a construction worker, and you have been given a tool belt with no tools in it. And you go into your situation, and then you realize that God gives you the tool that you need right at that moment. That's how this thing works. It's called grace. The Bible says it is by grace that we are delivered or saved through faith. And even that faith isn't of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Even that faith is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. It isn't by our works. It isn't by anything that we do, but it is by grace. And we go in the grace of the Lord. We go in the name of the Lord into our situations, and we say, "You have to submit to the name of Jesus." What is your situation today? Do you have bills that you can't pay? Do you have a physical issue? Do you have a family member that's not born again that's causing you irritation? Whatever the giant is that you are facing, it is not in your territory. It has escaped. I thought it was really funny that Gath means winepress. And Gideon is hiding in a place of a winepress, crushing the wheat in a winepress. He's using the press for something that it was never meant for. A lot of times we get stuck in positions that we were never meant for. We go fighting battles that we were never meant for. We go fighting situations that we were never meant for. Sometimes God says, stand back and see the salvation of God. We get to do this stuff, man. This is fun. You know, I remember growing up in the 70s and my pastor, you know, we would, one of the big doctrines of that day was that Jesus is coming tomorrow. So we never prepared for this. We never prepared for the 2000s. Jesus is coming tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You know, now the 2000s are here, and some of us older ones are like, oh man, I should have. I am an old man now, but I once was young. I have never been forsaken. I have never been begging bread. I have never seen a righteous person begging bread. You don't get to do this stuff. You don't get to fight the battle by yourself. That's why God gives you the whole armor. And it's not just something you put on every day. It's something that you put on when you are born, supposed to be born again. You put on Jesus Christ, who is your armor. And even that armor has no bearing on what's behind you, because in Isaiah, he says that the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. Now we're coming up to the Resurrection Sunday, and the best part about all of this is that we walk in victory, not defeat. Jesus said, "It is finished." A cry of victory from his situation. He said, "It is finished. It is done." And the enemy was no longer powerful. God loves you, and he wants you. And he wants you to see how much he loves you, and he wants to walk through you. So what is your situation? What is your concern? Run to him, not away. Oh, go get your mountain. Use the thing that the mountain, that your situation was trying to use to destroy you, use it to destroy it. Chop its head off. And that's how this thing works. Well, God loves you today, and I want to remind you that Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. It's my name at Outlook.com. That's how to get a hold of me. If you want to give into this ministry, I'll send you the links. Just say, Tom, I want to give. I'm looking for 100 people that will give me $50 each. I'll even take 50 people that give me $100 each so I can go to school. You know, I'll deal with the missions trip later. But right now, I'm looking for 100 people to give me $50 each. Or 50 people to give me $100 each. That'll go right into the school. I'll get the link for you. You can give it into the link. Or you can give it into me, and then I'll put it into the link. Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. I'll also post those, the ways to give, Cash App, Venmo, PayPal. I'll post those on the description on YouTube. In the description on Facebook. But go ahead, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. Enjoy this week. This is the week to reminisce the goodness of God. This is the week to reminisce about the goodness of God and start building it as a foundation for your life. Amen. I want to say that I see families being reconciled. I see men starting to love their families again. I see men starting to love themselves again. I see women coming under the auspices of the Holy Spirit and walking and gossip being being destroyed. I see people who are feeling alone all of a sudden having company. Women that feel like they're not good enough to be married all of a sudden are married. And I'm not prophesying marriage, but I'm saying I see this happening. I see God restoring and refreshing pastors that have given up the ministry because of pains. As a former pastor, I got to tell you that sheep do bite. I see pastors coming back and being restored in their heart, refreshed and ready to go. I want to prophesy this, that this revival that is about to take place is multi-generational. Now, if you have 21 years experience being 29, that's fine. That this is your time. Remember, the millennials, the Gen Z people, these are ones, and the Gen Xs, they you know, they need to have stability, and that's what we are for. That's what we're all about, is stability. The older generation are the anchors. We are the stabilizers. Remember, a ship that doesn't have a stabilizer or an anchor is tossed to and fro with every wind and wave and doctrine that comes by. The older generation are there to bring an anchor, not to quench, but to steady the ship so that we can go out and change this thing and get this thing going. I got to tell you, I am excited about the fact of what's happening. I saw last night when I was at the worship time at Bethel, and then this morning in the prayer, I saw God taking people and restoring what was broken. In I think it's Joel chapter, I know I'm preaching again, but I apologize. But I think it's Joel chapter 2, it says, the year that the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the locust have eaten, God is restoring those things. And that word restoration is making it, is saying it's filling in the blanks also. Whatever you felt like you lost, God is filling in the blanks and restoring it above and beyond what it would have been had you carried on in that situation. I saw children being reconciled to their parents. I saw children being reconciled. I saw husbands being reconciled to their wives. Amen, Rich. And this is, exactly. They're all things today are new. The old is passed away. Do not remember the former things and don't meditate on the past. If you want to remember something, remember the promises of God. Remember the prophecies that were given to you. Remember the word of God. Remember those things. God can never go back on his word. Just remember the testimonies. Remember the prophecies. Use them as stakes into the ground, as exit signs to let you know where you're going. But the former things of your life, your past doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. Remember the good things. Don't remember the bad things. Remember the good things. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's not a fixed up version. He's brand new. He is a prototype of what he was. And that's what God is trying to tell you this morning or this afternoon, whichever it is in your area, that you are positioned right now so that you can be the most effective in where you are going. You can be the most effective in what you're supposed to be doing. The people that you're going to be ministering to, the people that you're going to be blessing, the people that you're going to be feeding. You are the lighthouse to them. You are the authority of Jesus to them. So like David ran to Goliath with his weapons, you the promises of God are your weapons. Your hope, faith is a weapon that you get to use to destroy the enemy. That woman that had the issue of blood, she kept going and she said, if I can just, and she did. If I just touch the edge of his garment, oh, and she was healed. Press in, go after him. It's the presence of God that you want. When you're driving to the store, drive in the presence of God. When you go shopping, shop in the presence of God. When you are home with your spouse, be there with the presence of God. I prophesy that your spouse is present with you. Even if your spouse is Jesus, he is present with you. Not wandering. I see a diminishing of this reliance on the cell phones. I see a diminishing of social media, social media's dominance upon people's minds. And a more of a reliance upon the Word of God and the presence of Jesus. Wow. Go after him. Go after him. I can't deny that the Lord's done some great things in me. I remember a few Sundays ago, I'll share this and then we'll stop. But a few Sundays ago, Pastor Bill was talking on Sunday night, and he had words of knowledge, a number of them. Three of them were for me. I thought two of them were. But my back and my neck were killing me, and he had words of knowledge for the back, and the pain left. And then as I was going home that evening, my hand caught fire. I had no idea. It just didn't dawn on me what was happening. I thought somebody needed to be healed. I got home and I realized that the broken bone in my hand right here, this bone was broken in two spaces from a basketball injury. And the bone would float, and sometimes it would hurt. Sometimes it would go askew. But I went home and I realized that my bone was connected again. I prophesy to you surprises on things that you've been praying for and didn't realize that were broken, that they're mended in Jesus' name. Well, praise God. So go ahead, like, subscribe, comment, share on these videos, and that helps out. And I know it was really cool. Because I realized that it actually happened. I was like, whoa, you know, I wish I had known that. It doesn't feel like it was, you know how sometimes when bones get these, you know, the tissue kind of connects, it doesn't feel like that. I didn't get it x-rayed, but it doesn't feel like it was the tissue. Because I remember being able to move it and it doesn't move anymore. I'm just like, wow, just blew my mind. So praise God. Yeah, so thank you guys so much for coming on today, and I appreciate it. Again, go to my YouTube channel, subscribe, comment, share. My podcast channel, go there. Thank you for being a part of Facebook as well. And so I just look forward to tomorrow. And whoops, it was right there. It says restored. We are restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Rich, it's good to talk to you. Hey, we'll see you guys later. Have a great day.